Well, I must admit, I hope those fans keep working this morning. It's a warm one, isn't it? Those of you who are sitting out in the sun, if you want to, there are some empty seats up here you can make your way in so you don't sweat to death. Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning and turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus 15. We're going to be continuing in our series on the names of God, and we come to the name Jehovah Rapha this morning, the Lord our healer. And if we didn't have the fans, we may especially need him to revive us. Exodus 15. Follow along as I read verses 22 to 27. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands, and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, kind of like a 5-star oasis. And they camped there near the water. Lord, as we come to study your word again this morning, we ask that your Spirit would be our teacher. Help us to understand you. Help us indeed to encounter you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I must admit at the outset this morning that this message is not for everybody. It is not for people. It is only for those people who have been sick, or who are sick, or who will be sick. It is only for those people whose bodies are less than perfect. It is only for people who struggle with being less than completely whole. The rest of you are free to leave. Obviously, pain is not a foreigner, isn't it? It is perfectly at home in every single country of the world, in every community, in every family, in every life. Physical diseases like AIDS and cancer leave an ever-widening path of destruction, while new diseases like SARS seem to spring out of nowhere and then mutate. No matter how much attention and money have been dedicated over the years to stopping sickness and destroying disease, and no matter how much success there has been, and there has been lots, but no matter how much of that takes place, it seems like for every 2 steps forward, we take 3 steps back. In light of this reality, I have some absolutely fantastic news today. In our passage today, God reveals himself as the one who heals. He is the one who made our bodies. He has absolutely no trouble remaking them. The biblical stories of divine healing that pepper the scriptures from beginning to end are not myths. They are not legends. They are not just cute stories. They are not just fables. God does exactly the same thing today all around the world because he is the same today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. I've encountered Jehovah Rapha many times in my own personal life. I've seen him miraculously heal people, and I have been miraculously healed myself. Just last night, I received an email from our prayer coordinator for our cell ministry, highlighting some of the things that were happening. And the last story was someone in our cell ministry, not an ordained pastor, just one of the church family, who felt moved by God to go to one of the hospitals and pray for sick people. And she went, and she found a professing Christian who had been a Christian in the past and had walked away from their faith. And as she shared with them, that person repented of their sin, came back to Christ, and was instantly healed in their room. This week. This is not just long ago and far away. It's happening to this very day. Our story today in the scriptures, though, is about the Israelites encountering Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Now, I don't know what your particular condition is today, but I'm going to assume that you also would like to encounter Jehovah Rapha. And so I'm going to simply walk you through the same 4 steps that the Israelites went through in this passage. Pain, prayer, provision, and participation. follow along. They flow in that order. You'll see as it unfolds. To encounter Jehovah Rapha, you must first realize that you need Him. And the best possible way to discover our need is through pain. We don't like this, but it sure works. We read in verse 22, "Then Moses led the Israelites from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?'" 3 days! 3 days in the desert! 3 days in the desert without water. Folks, you live here. They're in trouble. This is big time problem. Their bodies were weary. They were parched. They were ready to drop. All of their hope was just a mirage. And the water that they finally did find was bitter. And you can bet your bottom dollar, so were they. They were royally upset. Frustration was oozing out of every dry pore. They were mad at Moses. They were mad at God. They were mad at everybody. They were mad at everything. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt that bitterness boiling up in your soul? I remember hearing about a little boy one time who played a trick on his grandfather. Grandpa was sleeping in the back bedroom and snoring away, and the little boy went and got some cheese that smelt really bad, and he put it on Grandpa's mustache. And the grandpa he kind of woke up with a snort, and he says, "This room stinks." And so he kind of walked out into the hallway, the hallway stinks. And he walked around the house, the whole house stinks. And so he walked out to the front porch and opened the doors and took a deep breath and, he says, "The whole world stinks." And the little boy said, "Grandpa, you stink." Have you ever noticed that sometimes the stink in the world is not that far away? Just under our noses? Sometimes it's in our own heart. Dear friends, circumstances do not produce character. Circumstances only reveal character. Our response to circumstances either makes us bitter or better, either haggard or whole. You may say, "But why does God allow us to go through bitter circumstances? Why indeed does He lead us there?" If you study the passage, you realize they were only 7 miles away from Elim, that five-star resort in the desert. 7 miles. Why couldn't God just take them there? Instead, He leads them to Marah, the place of bitterness. Why does God do that? Why? Why has He led you to that place of bitterness in your life? That place where He says, "Oh, I want to get rid of this." Why? Verse 25 tells us He led them there in order to test them. Now please note that God did not reveal Himself as Jehovah Rapha in the first part of the chapter where they are celebrating their amazing victory over the Egyptians. Remember that story? Pharaoh's army completely drowned in the Red Sea. They're on the other side. They're partying. They're singing. They're writing worship songs. They have an extended service and nobody's complaining that it's long. It's wonderful. It's fabulous. But it's interesting, it's not in that context that God reveals Himself as Jehovah Rapha. You know why? Because when all is well, friends, we have no sense need of God. We can praise Him, we can thank Him, but we don't feel the need of Him. It is only pain that brings about our sense of need. Jesus Himself said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Until we realize we're sinful, until we realize we're sick, until we experience pain, we have no felt need of God. But when we are in pain from ugly, uninvited circumstances, we have a choice to make. We can sit and we can stew and we can allow that bitterness to take root and go deep into our soul, which will then simply sprout and grow many flowers of blame. We will blame Moses. We will blame God. We will blame our parents. Blame the government. Blame the teachers. Blame the culture. Blame anyone in shooting range. It's their fault. Somebody else. It's everybody else's fault. That's why I'm so mad. That's why things are so bad. Blame, blame, blame. Or we can pray. We can pray. You see, when we think of physical healing, we naturally think of physical health. Or pardon me, when we think of healing, we naturally think of physical healing, physical health. And so we concentrate on our needs for more water or better water, for better food, for more medicine, for stronger muscles and bones, for restored organs and nerves and ligaments and sinews and whatever else. Of course, the Israelites needed that. But there was a much deeper healing that was needed in their soul. And have you ever noticed that there is no pharmacy in the entire world that provides medicine to bring wholeness back to your soul? That's just not available. Only God can provide that. Only God can give it. But God does not just dispense healing. He's not just a pharmacy where you can pick up a vial or a box or a pill. He is the healer. Our healing, dear friends, is not something we obtain. Our healing is contingent upon a relationship with God. He is the medicine we need. And our pain and our brokenness simply help us realize that awesome truth. Verse 25 simply says, "Then Moses cried out to the Lord." Good decision, Moses. Good decision. Cry out to the Lord. What do you do when trouble hits you? What do you do when your body starts to ache? What do you do when somebody falls sick? What do you do? Probably like, "Hello, doctor, I got a problem. Help, what pill do I need now?" Our fallback, our default mode in this modern world is to instantly look to anything and everything else other than God. We come to God as a last resort. If nothing works, everything fails, everything falls out, that, "You know what, God? I'm really in trouble here. I need you." You want to know Jehovah Rapha? Let your pain bring you to prayer. Bring you on your knees. Bring you where you cry out to the Lord to discover who He is. In James chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, we read, "Is any one of you sick? Let him grab the pill box." Is that what it says? "Let him go to the doctor." No. Now, hear me. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against medicine. God has used those things in marvelous ways. But your first default mode should not be those things. Your first default mode is to go to Jehovah Rapha. He is the only one who can bring healing. He may use a doctor, he may use a medicine, but only He can provide it. So our first default step is pray. "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." I have to wonder sometimes, how long will it take? How much pain must we endure before we simply, in brokenness, cry out to God? How long will it take before we push aside our pride and ask other people to pray for us? How long will it take before we're willing to open up and expose some of those things that are keeping us in bondage? How long? It is only brokenness and humility that bring us to God. Pardon me, it is only in brokenness and humility that we can encounter Jehovah Rapha. Let me state that again. It is only in brokenness and humility that we can encounter Jehovah Rapha. In the Scriptures, healing for God's people is totally tied up in relationship with Jehovah Rapha, with God Himself. Please note, God did not say, "I am the God who gives healing." What did He say? "I am the God who heals." It's not something I dispense, it's who I am. Listen to these words in Romans 8:11, New Testament, same truth. "And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead is living in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." See, the essence of God's very being is to provide life and wholeness precisely because He is life and wholeness. That's who He is. And so to provide it is just the overflow of His being. Now, the word Rapha appears almost 70 times in the Old Testament. Although it's translated in various ways, it always means to restore, to heal, and to cure. Not just in the physical sense, but much broader in a moral and spiritual sense as well. God is the healer of the entire total person. Listen to this sampling of verses from the scriptures to see what I mean. I'll give you the references. You may want to write them down for further study. In Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, King David said, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all my sins," that's a spiritual healing, "and heals all our diseases," that's a physical healing. In Psalm 147:3, David declared, "He heals the brokenhearted," it's an emotional healing, "and He binds up their wounds," physical healing. Jeremiah 3:22, "Return, faithless people, and I will heal you of your backsliding," spiritual healing. Ezekiel 36:25, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities," moral healing, "and from all your idols," spiritual healing. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin," spiritual, "and I will heal their..." Do you remember the verse? "I will hear their..." Their land. What? Their land? God heals land? What does that mean? Take a look at the history. You know what it means? It means God has the power to restore land economically, socially, ecologically, morally, spiritually. God can do mighty things, not just in a people group, but in the very ecology, in the very economy of the place. God has the power, God has the capacity, God has the desire to heal and make whole every aspect of our brokenness, because it's who He is. That's why when God appeared on this planet in Christ, He continued to carry out this commitment to heal people from the inside out. In Luke 4:18 and 19, when He commenced His ministry in Nazareth, He began by opening the prophets, Isaiah, reading, saying it applied to Him. And He read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Do you see the multifaceted aspect of His healing ministry? In Matthew 14:14, it says, "When Jesus saw the crowd, He had compassion on them, and He healed them," not just physical, in every dimension of their lives. Dear friends, when you pray to Jesus Christ, when you pray to Jehovah Rapha, you are speaking with the very One who longs for your healing in your body, in your soul, and in your spirit. And if you wonder how in the world does He make that possible, then go with me and take a look at His provision. In verse 25, we continue, "Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet." Now, I know some people who try and explain this away, saying, well, it must have been some kind of a magic, or that there were certain chemicals in the wood that cleansed the water. Well, all we know from the scriptural passage is that God told Moses to do something, and Moses did it. That's all we know from the passage. There may have been all kinds of things that God was doing behind the scenes. We don't know that. What we do, God gave a command, Moses obeyed, the bitter water was cleansed, and it became good for drinking. Now, if you go to the New Testament, however, there is a parallel story of purification involving another piece of wood. This time, the details were provided. This time, the wood was not thrown into the water, it was thrown into the ground. This time, the wood had a body nailed to it. And from that wood, from that tree, flowed sinless blood that provided cleansing for all people through all generations. And dear friends, it was not magic. It was pure love. Looking ahead to that day on the cross of Calvary where Jesus was crucified and His blood flowed for the purification of our lives, the prophet Isaiah said these words in Isaiah 53. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. Do you hear that? By His wounds we are healed. The blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from Calvary's wooden cross is the only medication ever provided that brings complete healing to our lives. In both the Old and New Testaments, the teaching is the same regarding our healing. It is a covenant benefit and inheritance provided by God Himself for His children. That's what comes through loud and clear in Scripture. All disease, all sickness, all death, all destruction in this world are the direct result of sin entering the human race. Mike read earlier at the beginning of the service, Genesis 1, that passage, and it ended at the end of the first day. God said, it is half-baked. Is that what He said? It's almost there. What did God say? It is... Come on, do you know your Bibles? What did God say at the end of the first day of creation? It is... Guys, read your Bible. What does it say? It is good. What did He say at the end of the second day of creation? It is... And the third day? Fourth day? Every day it is good. God didn't make junk. God made everything perfect. He didn't make it with genetic codes that were going to dysfunction down the line. He didn't make it with a, whoops, blew it on that one. God made it all good. It was when sin, through Satan's rebellion and Adam and Eve's participation, when that entered our world, dear friends, that's what brought the stream of destruction into our lives. God had told them, the moment, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. They didn't die instantly, but the death process began in them that moment and then infiltrated through their lives, infiltrated into this world, culture, everything, and you and I reap the collective damage today. That's how sin got here. And the devil uses that death and that destruction and that disease, he uses it as a weapon against people. Whenever you see stuff in the news about it going on, whenever you feel it around you, it is the devil using those things for his purposes. But here's the good news. When Jesus conquered the grave after his death on Calvary, he broke the power of sin. He pulled the sting out of death, and he triumphed over all brokenness, all disease, and all sickness. When on the cross he said, "It is finished," he meant it. He finished the work. What was the work? 1 John says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And Jesus said, it is finished. I came to complete what God asked me to do, and I've done it. Chalas, it's over. The devil's work is done. It's complete. I have won victory over it. He destroyed the devil's work. Our healing, dear friends, just like our forgiveness of sins, was completely provided for in Christ's atonement. There's no half job with God. Healing is our divine inheritance. In Jesus' own words, it is the children's bread. It is our covenant benefit and blessing. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, just a minute, Pastor Dave, if that is so, then why are so many Christians sick? If that is so, why are we not experiencing what you seem to say or what the Bible seems to say is ours? Well, the principle is similar to what we learned last week regarding our sanctification. There's no question that Christ purchased our complete holiness on the cross of Calvary. It's ours. But what is ours in position, we need to grow into in experience, and someday when we see Him face to face, we will have the completion of that in our personal holiness. It's exactly the same thing with our healing. It is ours completely in Jesus Christ, but we must grow into it, participating with God. Someday when we see Him face to face, that healing will be complete. But in the process, we walk with God and we learn how to draw that from Him. Participation with God is the key, and that's what we move to next. Look at verse 25. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there He tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Dear friends, this is a conditional process. God is saying, I will do this if you do this. If you do not do this, I will not do this. There's a condition here. Now, this is not God being mean. This is basic wisdom. We know it today as the power of prevention. If you go back to the ancient world, not just Egypt, but the world as it was back then, there were many, many diseases, and most of them in that day were caused by unsanitary conditions. People didn't wash their hands after going to the bathroom, or after touching dead animals, or after playing in the dirt. And then they would prepare food and they would eat it and they'd wonder why they'd get sick. They knew nothing about quarantine for sickness because they knew nothing about the transmission of germs and bacteria. That was outside their realm of understanding. Thousands of years before the medical profession knew anything about this, the Lord gave people dietary and sanitation commandments specifically to protect them from sickness and disease transmitted by germs, bacteria, and viruses. God knew that even if people didn't. Now, God's laws relating to sexual conduct also reflected wisdom far beyond any medical or moral prescription, even to this very day. Let me ask you very carefully today, do you want to live your life guaranteed to never get a sexually transmitted disease? You realize STDs are rampant in the world. They are killing off thousands, millions of people. Do you want to be guaranteed never to get one of those things? There is a way. Remain a virgin until you are married, and then stay faithful to your heterosexual spouse for life. It's guaranteed to work. It's the way God designed us. And God knew that, and that's why He put commandments in place to prevent us from all the carnage. Dear friends, this is one of the great reasons why the Lord tied keeping His commandments to escaping the diseases of Egypt. The dietary sanitation sections of the law and the moral section of the law made Israel into one of the healthiest nations, if not the healthiest nation, in the ancient world. Now, they also had the added benefit of having an incredibly perfectly nutritional, balanced food of all time that God Himself prepared. We don't have that today, but they had that as well. Prevention, dear friends, is one of the primary, if not the best way to enjoy health. Now, I know that doesn't sound spiritual. You'd rather get zapped by God. You'd rather have a power encounter. But you know what? This is just as spiritual as some dynamic bolt of electricity coming out of the heavens. God has told us, you want to stay healthy? Walk with me, obey my commands, prevent the natural consequences of stupid life decisions. Keep dirt and filth and disease far away from your body. Keep dirt and filth and disease far away from your mind, far away from your spirit. Why ask God to help you get healthy if you're not taking care of the body and the mind that He's already given you? Doesn't that seem kind of backward? Dear friends, let me meddle a bit here this morning. You may hate me for this, but it's because I love you. If your bad eating habits, your lack of exercise, your lack of rest, your drug and alcohol abuse, or your sexual habits are putting you at risk, why should God rescue you? Why? That's like jumping off a building and then blaming God for not catching you. Hello? That's not how God operates. You've got to cooperate with God. You've got to participate with Him if you want to know Him as Jehovah Rapha. Now, nevertheless, because we live in a very broken and sinful world, you can cooperate with God and still be contaminated by sin just by being here, just by living here. And so Jehovah Rapha adds to the power of prevention also the care of His cure. God loves to provide healing grace, but He doesn't just give it indiscriminately like He does the sunshine. It comes to everybody. That's not the case with His healing power. He calls for our participation. Go through the Gospels if you have time and read all the accounts of Jesus healing people. And you will discover He didn't sit in a cold room somewhere over the network and just kind of throw it out. He involved people. Whether it's calling for a specific act of faith, a declaration of faith, allowing, like we read this morning, the woman to touch the hem of His garment, going to the house, getting the Father involved, whatever. He got people involved in the process. They participated with Him. And so it is to this day. In James chapter 5, we are given a process to follow. I've already preceded and given it to you this morning. But basically, it says there, is any one of you sick? They should call the elders of the church. One of the mass confusions is most people in the church say, you know what, it's the pastor's responsibility to look after us. He should know when we're sick.